Manx Radio Sport.
Good evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard with you here for the next half hour, looking ahead to the sporting action on Ireland and beyond in the days ahead, coming up tonight. In a weekend of doubleheaders in football, FC Isle of Man are preparing for the first of two pre-season games in less than 24 hours on Ireland tonight. The record-breaking racing may have come to a close at the Southern 100 this week, but solo and sidecar action will continue this weekend in the north of the island. With less than 24 hours to go until the 2025 Ireland Games get underway, we're hearing from a few more of the Isle of Man teams flying the Manx flag. That is all to come this evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Well, let's get straight into things, shall we? After getting their pre-season campaign underway 7 days ago, there's a busy doubleheader for FC Isle of Man tonight and tomorrow. The Ravens will face NFA FC at the Bowl tonight at 7pm before facing National League side Brackley Town in Ramsey tomorrow at 2pm. And FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones explains what he and his side learned from their 3-2 friendly defeat to the Isle of Man men's national team last week. He also says it's exceptionally likely his squad will be chopped and changed a lot for this busy upcoming 24 hours.
It's a big ask to do this. It's like less than 24 hours, maybe in about 14 hours kind of turnaround between games. So yeah, we'll be using everybody that we have available, including a few new players, an opportunity to have a look at them. So yeah, it's going to kind of test our limits really this weekend with, you know, the Ireland team being away at the Ireland Games, the California squad being away. We don't have a massive player pool in the Isle of Man, so it's kind of testing the limits of that, I think, a little bit, if you include holidays and, you know, other reasons why people might not be available. So yeah, it's going to be a really good test both tonight and Saturday, but yeah, it'll certainly stretch our resources and our squad for sure.
And last time out, you're involved in a friendly against the Isle of Man national side, which is jetting off to the Ireland Games this weekend. What did you learn from that first pre-season match?
That we weren't quite where we needed to be for the first game of the season, but you know, we're expected that anyway. You know, the Ireland team played at a really good intensity, and we needed that because we hadn't had that test yet, I think. And although there were some things that we saw that were really good and gave us a load of confidence, you know, having that, you know, them being like match fit and ready to go hopefully and win a gold medal at the Ireland Games, and us still being, you know, like 2.5-3 weeks into pre-season, some players had only done 2 or 3 training sessions as part of their pre-season prep, and you could see that kind of rustiness in our play and in somehow how some of the individual kind of actions kind of played out. So yeah, we knew where we were, or we thought we knew where we were, and Friday kind of like showed us that. And you know, the next kind of 2 weeks now through to the start of the season becomes really important, and our match sharpness hopefully will be fine-tuned over that period.
Turning then to this weekend, starting tonight, of course, you've already mentioned them, NFA FC, the opponents at the Bowl this evening. So what do you want to see this evening?
Yeah, it's it'll be an interesting one, I think, tonight. You know, some players will have an opportunity to show what they're capable of and how they might fit into the group going forwards. We're looking for them to manage their energy well. You know, it's pre-season's about getting minutes in the legs, and that's something we managed to do last week. This week, it's hopefully people will get more minutes in the legs and for longer periods of time on the pitch, which is really important. And then we've spoken this week and last week about, you know, things that we want to see out of possession especially. So I'm hopefully going to see that, and then the players who can make a difference at the top end of the pitch hopefully will have an opportunity to show that as well. So it's more about kind of developing and continuing to develop kind of how we play and what we want to see. You know, can we play direct and play forward and be really kind of like on the front foot as much as we can when we have the ball, and when we don't have it, work our socks off to shut down opportunities and get the ball back as quickly as we can. So yeah, it's fingers crossed, touch wood. We didn't quite get away injury free last week, but touch wood, everyone comes through unscathed. It gets really good minutes in their legs, and you know, that's the most important thing in pre-season, is to make sure that we're all fit and ready to go in 2 weeks' time.
And then tomorrow, of course, you've got National League opposition coming to the Isle of Man at the Ballyclone Stadium in Ramsey. Brackley Town promoted into the National League at the end of last season as well. So how exciting is it? Not just a challenge, but a prospect for these players to come up against that level of club?
I hope they're excited by it. I think, you know, Brackley have been the last two pre-seasons and we've given them good games. You know, ultimately their quality is told in those games, but we've pushed them. And I'm looking for us to do that again tomorrow. So hopefully the players will be wearing the shirt tomorrow. You know, really, we're up for the challenge and it'll be tough, but I'll have to suffer probably, especially with the weather in the, you know, 2 p.m. kickoff against the National League side. Like, it's going to be hard work, but that's what we want. It'll hopefully set us up really well for the festival the weekend after, and all three of those games are really, really important towards our preparation ahead of the first league fixture against Liverland on the 26th.
And finally, just on a bit of a wider note, we've already spoken a little bit about the changes in personnel that have happened over the summer going into this season, but you alluded to just before as well the style of play you're looking to implement as well. So how are you managing those expectations in terms of bedding in new players and putting together a different style of play?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's different. I would say it's developing what we've done. It's like progressing what we've done. I think the challenge this preseason, and we knew it would be like this coming into it, was always going to be access to the players, with, as I say, the younger group, the under-19s school squad going to California, and, you know, the Island Games squad training with them, and us not being able to work with anyone that was coming into our group until after the Island Games. It does make it more difficult. The group we have worked with have been fantastic, but there's more players than the ones we've worked with this pre-season. So, you know, when you look at the league fixtures, we've got two games, you know, close back to back, and then we've got a bit of a break, and then another two games, and then maybe another little bit of a break. So a lot of what we're going to be working on and embedding and getting the players up to speed with, you like, will take through towards past those first four games, I think.
Manx Radio Sport.
FC Alabama manager Paul Jones there, head of his side's pre-season doubleheader tonight and tomorrow. First up, NFA FC versus FC Isle of Man, 7 o'clock tonight at the Bowl in Douglas, and then tomorrow, FC Isle of Man versus Brackley Town at the Ballaclone Stadium in Ramsey at 2 p.m. Moving on, and looking for another racing fix following the record-breaking Southern 100 road races earlier this week? Well, the action is moving to the north of the island this weekend. Rounds 5 and 6 of the Andreas Racing Association Championship are being held at Jerby this Saturday and Sunday, with both solo and sidecar machines involved across two busy days. Well, many ARA graduates find themselves competing in the likes of the Southern 100, and this year was no exception, with plenty of former and current ARA riders racing at Balaun. Lee Bartram from the association has been explaining what's in store this weekend and how it felt to see more of their racing prospects impressing down south during the week.
It was absolutely amazing. I went down to all the days to watch the Southern this year. Obviously, the weather was unbelievable on Championship Day, and it was great to see some of our competitors up there challenging for podiums, the likes of Marcus Simpson, Grant Thompson, Michael Evans, Paul Cassidy, even Jamie Williams, who's raced with us in the past, and Joe Yeardsley, who's a previous ARA champion. And of course, you can't not mention Ryan and Callum Crowe, who did the double. And the second race, they took that in quite spectacular style. And more achievements to add to everything else that they've accomplished over the last 12 months, 18 months. So yeah, it was great to see.
And how much do the likes of, let's say, the Southern 100 and the ARA season complement each other, not just like with an example this week, but throughout the season?
We sit down with the Southern 100 club at the start of the season and see how we can help each other for the coming year. The Southern are massive supporters of ARA, because obviously all the local riders that compete at the Southern, or almost all of them, come through ARA. And then Southern 100 then help to promote our two-day weekend, which is this one. And yeah, they just generally get really involved and they're really supportive of the club. Also, from the Southern 100 perspective, the Isle of Man Steam Packet play an important part, because they extend the boat deal for the competitors to include the ARA race weekend at Jerba. So we try to work as close as possible with all the other kind of motorsport organisations on the island, because I think it can only benefit us if we're all working together.
Taking racing from the south to the north in the space of a couple of days then. So yes, the doubleheader weekend up at Jerby Motordrome. Could you just explain a little bit about what the programme's looking like for Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, sure. So on the 12th and 13th this weekend, it's round 5 and round 6 of the Andreas Racing Association Motorcycle and Sidecar Championships. It's our only two-day race meeting of the season. The weather looks like it's going to be absolutely amazing. And we normally have practice starting around 9:30 on a race day, and then racing gets underway around 11:45 to 12 o'clock. But this weekend, it looks like it's going to be a spectacular one with really big grids, because we have a number of competitors staying over from the Southern 100 to compete with us. I think we've got 11 or 12 sidecars this weekend competing, including Ryan and Callum Crowe, who are currently leading the Northern Fuels Open Sidecar Centre Championship. And we've got a number of solos staying with us as well. So it's looking like it's going to be a fantastic weekend.
Along with the steady number that you get throughout the season, not just on a weekend like this, when you do have those that are maybe involved in the Southern in some way that can come and support the event just for that weekend, two or three wheeled racing, how good is it to know that you are getting that support, that other people are looking to the likes of yourselves and saying, well, actually, I'm going to get something out of this meeting, not just the Southern 100 early in the week?
Yeah, it's fantastic to see, and it gives a lot of the sidecar guys and solo guys, if they do want to stay over, a lot of extra track time, and it also gives them additional signatures towards their licence if they want to try and move up a level, or even, you know, to compete at the Manx Grand Prix, because we do have quite a few competitors, local competitors, who are competing in the Manx Grand Prix this year, which we're very proud of. I think we've had 10 in total over the past 3 years, and this year we've got 6, including Blake Kelly, Wayne Avis, Grant Thompson, Sam Norton, Dale Brew, and 2024 double ARA champion Luke Blevins. So it just kind of goes to show how important the ARA is to motorsport on the island and to the road racing events here.
Manx Radio Sport.
That is Lee Bartram of the Andrus Racing Association, ahead of rounds 5 and 6 of the Andrus Racing Association Championship up at Jerby Circuit this weekend. Saturday and Sunday, 12th and 13th of July. Entry to this weekend's racing at Jerby will be £6 for adults, whilst under 16s go free. Meanwhile, up until a few months ago, they had no idea they'd be heading to the 2025 Ireland Games. But now that they are, the women's football team are eyeing the top prize in Orkney. A squad of 20 led by manager Wayne Leesey will be hoping to build on the bronze medal they managed in Guernsey in 2023. Well, both Mr. Leesey and team captain Becky Corkish were clear when they spoke to Manx Radio recently about what their ambitions are.
Well, we're going for gold, Rob. We're not doing it if we're not going for gold. And we've learnt from last year, obviously. It was Wayne's first Ireland tournament last time, and I'm sure he's learnt a few things from how the team can get better and what we can do better as players. So, there's no reason why we're not going to go the whole way this time.
And again, on what Beck has just said there, Wayne, is the fact that, you know, you've got an Ireland Games under your belt now. What did you learn as a manager from the last one?
Absolutely, I learnt a lot. I learnt that it's not about the starting 11 in terms of the Ireland Games, it's about the whole squad. Certainly from my point of view, I'll be using the full squad more than I did last time, and that will just keep everyone fresh as well.
Becky, on the squad itself, obviously not too many changes from the last games in terms of personnel, but a couple of new faces coming in. Quite generally, how do you rate the strength of the squad this year?
I think it's a really strong squad. I think you've got the strength of the players in there, you've got the ability of the players in there, the speed. Each player offers something different, and it really makes the squad as good as it is. Obviously, we're missing Ellie Gorn this year, which is a massive loss due to work commitments. Just even with her knowledge of the game and how the Ireland Games go. Tournament football is completely different to playing a match on a Sunday and then having a week off. So we're going to miss the experience from her. But then on the flip side, we've got new young members coming in, like Pippa Wallace and Rosabelle Cardi, and it'll be great to see what they can offer in relation to their fitness and their age, I guess.
And off the back of that, Wayne, from your perspective, you've got a good nucleus of experienced players in there, you know, Becky included amongst others. But the fact, as Becky says, there are a couple of younger faces coming in for the first time. How encouraging is that for you as a manager to see more players coming through for the future?
Oh, it's fantastic. And there's more to come, to be honest, Rob. I know the junior setup at some of the clubs on the island is really good for the girls. And I know there's talented players coming through. I'd also like to touch on the fact that we've got a couple of players that have come back into the fold that weren't available a couple of years ago. Your Sarah O'Reilly, your Shannon Groves. So they're going to add their experience and their quality back into the squad, as well as the youngsters we brought in.
And Becky, between now and the last games 2 years ago as well, obviously the Isle of Man women's team went and won the inaugural Cherry Godfrey Cup over in Jersey as well. So how much confidence did that, I suppose, breed within the squad as well? I know that was 12 months ago, but, you know, a bit of a justification of the qualities you've got.
Yeah, definitely. And it also kind of gave us a bit of a idea of where we are currently at with the squad. Even though it was 12 months ago, it's still only broken down a year between the Island Games, whereas before the Cherry Godfrey Cup, we would go the whole 2 years without seeing what the oppositions were like again. Obviously, you had Jersey, Unisman, Guernsey. It's good to see where we are at, so we're not kind of blindsided for a two-year period. It kind of gave us a bit of a stepping stone to know, okay, this is where we're at. We've got 12 months to sort it. Although we obviously didn't think we were going to be going, but it has definitely helped us by going to that tournament.
And going into this tournament, Wayne, there is always an element of the unknown, however big or small, about who you're going to be playing, because teams could have changed drastically around you in the last couple of years. So how do you find the balance between sort of trying to know what you can about the opposition, but also making sure that if there are things you can't control, everyone just plays their own game?
Absolutely. It's very difficult to set your team up to an unknown. Gozo, for example, I don't think Gozo have even ever been involved in the Island Games, so we've absolutely no idea whether they're what kind of standard they're going to be. So it is very difficult, but we try and train playing a certain way, being able to change that way during a match. So the friendly tomorrow against Kendal, the friendly in a few weeks' time against Unisman when we go away, are vital matches to help us get set.
And finally, Wayne, looking ahead, we've already got Becky's prediction. You want to go for gold. I don't think that's changed from the last time you all went as well. So from your perspective, from a manager's side, what's it going to take to achieve that?
It's going to take beating Bermuda at some point during the tournament, without a doubt. They were definitely the strongest team we came up against, and we only lost 1-0. So now that we're better prepared, as far as I'm concerned, we're better prepared. There's no reason we can't get gold.
Manx Radio Sport.
Elsewhere, and among those expected to be very busy at the Games, will be the Isle of Man badminton team. A relentless schedule awaits the 10-strong squad, which is expected to battle on many fronts across the team singles and doubles events. One of those who was part of the team and among the medals at the last Games in 2023 was Matthew Nicholson. He's involved again this year and describes how they've been preparing for what he expects to be a demanding programme.
Getting more intense was the last couple of months, or last month or so. So we've had a late change for the team, which obviously disrupted things a little bit, but in general it's going really quite good for people, it sounds like. So especially the ones off Ireland as well seem like they're training well, and the ones here, there's more here this year than there has been, which is good for the Ireland based players, having more players to train with as well.
And coming into this season, there was a little bit of a structure change as well, wasn't there, in terms of how players are brought into, let's say, both the senior and junior pathways, weren't they?
Yeah, there's a slight change. There was a new committee got set up based on the performance side. So it's more looking more closely at trying to get juniors to come to tournaments away, seniors to tournaments away. So training, trying to be a bit more focused on what like technique and that sort of side of things are. Trying to help, obviously, give them the best chance to improve as they can.
And speaking of performance side of things, coming back to the Island Games, really. Yes, of course, it is very competitive. You're all out there to win. But how exciting just an occasion is it to take part in this? It only comes around once every 2 years.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So it's been, for myself, it's probably my sixth one now. So, but every time it comes around, it's the main goal really for the 2 years. That's what you build up towards, and hopefully try and get a medal or do well, or whatever personal goals people have.
But one thing people do talk about across different sports is the challenge of just how intense the schedule is. How different is that compared to anything else you'll do throughout the season?
It's very different, because most tournaments are maybe one day, a lot of them, or maybe 2 days max. For this, we'll start morning after the opening ceremony, and we'll finish a couple of hours before the closing ceremony. So it'll be the whole week where we're in the badminton hall. So some nights we finish about 10:30, start at 9 a.m. So it's long days and intense schedule, which takes a lot out of you.
Also, the fact that you as individuals will sometimes be competing across numerous different tournaments in that time, the singles and doubles, whichever there are. So it's not like you've just got to go down the pathway through one. You may be considering having to go down the pathway of trying to dip your hand into two or three different events.
Yeah, so the schedule for some of them would be, got the team event first, the first couple of days, and then some of the individuals where some will play singles, doubles and mixed, which would include the team events. Very tough schedule, and then physically, even mentally, just to keep your concentration for that long and keep going. But it's a really tough, long schedule.
Just going quickly back to Guernsey, the Alabama badminton team took 3 medals in Guernsey. Yourself got one of them in the mixed doubles with Jess Lee winning bronze there. Jess Lee also winning silver in the women's singles, and then Jess Lee and Kim Clegg winning gold in the women's doubles as well. How did you all, I suppose, assess the last Island Games and how it went?
It went well. I said slight disappointment again coming fourth from the team event originally, but obviously with Jess played extremely well in individuals with medalling all three, which makes a massive difference, even dragging myself to a medal. But it's trying to now build on that and try and maybe get one or two extra medals if we're lucky.
And what would you say about the level of competition? Because like you said, the Isle of Man has had some success, not just in the last games, but in the previous ones as well. What does it say about the strength of the competition around you?
Badminton's usually quite strong because, I say, Greenland and Faroes are linked to Denmark, which in Denmark, badminton's massive and they get a lot of funding through. So the example would be Faroe Islands. All their club coaches are paid coaches, which the setup there, they've got hard to compete with what we've got here. But for especially like Jess and Kim that have won gold the last three and Kim's won gold the last five now, really impressive to keep that consistency of being that level up against people that have that setup as well.
I'm certainly not going to ask you to make any ultimatums or put any numbers on this, but you know, what would you all consider a successful Ireland Games, do you think?
I think the main one originally is going to be straight in, because we try and get a medal in the team event. Obviously, unfortunately, Toby, who's probably been our top guy, is injured now, so he's had to pull out back in March, but there's still a good chance of us getting a medal. I think that's the original aim, and then outside of that, it's try and pick up the same amount of medals individual as we did last time, maybe try and improve it by one.
That's the competitive side again. Everyone wants to win, but also a lot of people talk about with the Ireland Games side of things that there seems to be a real community atmosphere in there as well. Is that something you'd agree with?
Yeah, it's something you'd agree with, definitely, especially talking about badminton, how long you're stuck in the hall with everyone stuck in the hall for. You tend to get really good relationships there and really good friendships built up over the years, especially over numerous games. So it is a really good atmosphere to go, and it's a really enjoyable environment to be in. Everyone's together for that week. So it's got the open ceremony, the closing ceremony. It's even across the different sports. You see a lot more of the different sports, what you would. It's catching with just badminton. And a lot of people from different islands you just see every 2 years. And obviously the small states coming in, we see a couple of them now, probably twice every 2 years. But still, it's really good to catch up with people and really good atmosphere.
Manx Radio Sport. And finally tonight, a quartet of competitors will be representing the Isle of Man in sailing at this year's Games. In what is a collection of both previous Games competitors and newer faces, the squad will include Jason Hyatt, Letty Hyatt, Teddy Dunn and Bob Love. Well, 20-year-old Teddy Dunn is one of three squad members who'll get a first taste of the Games, and he's told us what it's been like getting ready for what will be a brand new experience.
Preparations-wise, I think everything's going pretty smoothly. As a team, we've been doing a couple of training sessions, usually as a weekend. So I think we've done 2 weekends a month-ish and also a couple of regattas. So we went all the way up to Ramsey Regatta as a bit of a performance indicator. For me personally, I'm just really focusing on getting prepared as physically as best I can, in the gym as much as I can, out on the bike, just doing what I can on that front, mainly to get up to weight actually, for the laser.
And on that side of things, the physicality, I mean, some people, that they may have seen footage over the years of what it takes, but the sheer physicality you need in this sport can catch some people out at times, can't it?
Yeah, it happens quite a lot. Sometimes I get a little bit of slander as well from my mates. But yeah, especially when it's a windy day, lots of cardio fitness, lots of core, lots of legs. And you're on the water for sometimes 3-4 hours. So having that cardiovascular or the aerobic fitness is really, really crucial.
And in terms of the team itself, there seems to be a mix yet again this year of a bit of experience, those who've been there and done it with Ireland Games, but also elsewhere, a bit of new blood in there in terms of the Ireland Games, yourself included as well. So how important or how valuable could that mix be this year?
I think as a team, it's looking quite good. We've got the likes of Jason and Bob. I know Jason's done one or two before. Bob's doing sailing events most of his life. Then you've also got me and Letty Hyatt. We're both a bit younger, more fresh into the sailing sport. But I think as a team, we can really share that information and combine the more physical aspect and the knowledge aspect of sailing. It should work well.
In terms of what's going to be on offer at the Ireland Games, and also more generally in terms of what you do throughout the year, what do you enjoy most about the sport of sailing? To try and describe it to someone who maybe doesn't know it as well as you.
Yeah, that's a really, really tough question, but a good question. I love sailing absolutely to bits. I think it's hard to put into words. I think being in the sea, especially, it's quite lovely, quite relaxing, soothing at times. I think it's a sport of many attributes almost. So I don't think I ever really get bored. Every day is different. And I think you're always learning. And it's not just all physical thing. It's a mental thing. And super, super nice, like after a day of racing, to talk through what you did, why that was better, why that was worse, and what you can change. So I think it's a sport where you're always learning, always developing.
Back to the Ireland Games then. Now, in terms of logistics, I mean, people talk about having to get their equipment to and from venues and stuff like that, but sailing is sometimes in a bit of a league of its own with regards to that. So how have you all found getting everything organised to get everything to Orkney to get set up in time?
Yeah, I definitely have to thank Donald Edwards so much. He sort of runs that sailing side, and he's been an absolute superstar with regards to logistics and stuff. With regards to all our kit, I think that's going in a team van on the way up. The plane, I think you're only allowed to have 6 kilograms of luggage or something because the runway is so small, which is quite cool to think about. But yeah, kit's been sent up in the van. And then with regards to boats and equipment and that sort of thing, Orkney provides it, which is really, really awesome for us. But we're going to go up there a bit earlier, give ourselves a day or two to check over all the equipment, hopefully get on the water and go from there.
Excellent. And then that brings me on to, I suppose, what the ambitions are. And I'm not going to ask you to name any ultimatums or any specific predictions. We never do that in terms of, because so many things can happen, no matter what sport you're in. But have the likes of yourself and the rest of the team set personal goals or not?
I reckon everyone's got sort of idea in their head of how they want to do. But sailing's different day in, day out. You can get different conditions. You can have tough days, you can have good days. But it's quite hard to predict what's going to happen, especially with the wind. For me, I'm just going to get there and just take it day by day, perform the best I can and see what happens from there. Like to do well, but it's really, really hard to predict. You don't know who else is going from which islands. So yeah.
And just finally, on that point, in an ideal world, again, you can be as specific or as vague as you like, but what would you personally class as a successful Island Games?
In a perfect world, I'd really, really love to get on the podium. I think that'd be really, really awesome. But we'll see. Big fleet, could have some really, really good sailors up there.
Thank you for joining us on Friday Sports Preview this week. And don't forget, the 2025 Island Games, just 24 hours to go now until it gets underway in Orkney. And here at Manx Radio, we'll have you covered throughout on what's heading your way from Orkney as well. We will be bringing you the dedicated Island Games 2025 live blog here on Manx Radio. All the news as and when it happens, minute by minute, updates, medals, interviews and more besides from the 12th to the 18th of July. That'll be going live on the Manx Radio website, manxradio.com, from tomorrow morning. So please, if you do want to stay in touch with all that's happening in Orkney as and when it happens, don't forget the dedicated live Island Games 2025 blog on Manx Radio. And also as well, if you want to listen back to extended interviews with the teams, Manx Radio Sportscast at manxradio.com for that as well. Thank you so much for joining us. Have yourself a wonderful Friday and a wonderful weekend as well. But from me until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.